our heart desires God.
Because praying and so thankful to be here again. I was missing y'all. This really was. I wanted to come back to Enid. It's been a while. We've been traveling. We've been working for the Lord. We got to go to Wichita last week. Thank the Lord for that. I've been thinking about this desiring God and how our heart reaches after God. That's what God wants us to be like, desiring Him. And I was in prayer and the Lord gave me a song. Maybe later we can sing that song. But right now I'd like to turn to Psalms. Psalms 42 and 1. And it says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. I'm going to read just a little bit of this song. Later we can sing it, but as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other. So much more than anything. That's quite a thing to say, isn't it? You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. The Lord, as I was praying about this message, the Lord gave me that song. I love that song. There's a brother in California, Brother Fiery. He sings that song. He sings that song a lot. He sang it at Monarch. I don't know if you were there. He sang that song at Monarch. As a hart, the deer. And I looked up something about the deer. I thought that was kind of interesting. Deer are closely associated with freedom, grace, and strength, combined with power and gentleness. They live in the forest, connecting them closely with the elements of the earth, and they're very light on their feet, and they're very intelligent. And I was thinking about how we love to see the deer. I think everybody just loves to see the deer. We see the deer, we take note. I don't know deer or what, because they run away, but usually. But they just seem like they're just such sweet creatures, you know? Like, they're just so, and it says they are. They're just an animal that's very gentle, and but yet they're intelligent, and they're strong. But they pant after water. They get thirsty after water. And as a hart, which means deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. So, you know, God has taken note of how the deer panteth after the water brooks. And He wants us to be like that, and we are like that. It's amazing how we can get, I think of the song that Brother Werner wrote. He says, Can a bird drink up the ocean, searching still from shore to shore, thirsting still from shore to shore? Or the God of all creation, leave my soul yet yearning more, something like that. Even though we're filled with God and our soul is satisfied, we still thirst for God. You know what I mean? We still want to be close to God. And our heart yearns for those times that we can talk to God. That is very normal for a Christian to be that way. So you want to be one of my favorite scriptures when I first got saved was in Matthew where it says, if you hunger, Matthew 5, and thirst after God, you shall be saved. It's one of the Beatitudes, but blessed, 5 and 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. At the same time, I feel like God has filled my soul. I feel so full. I feel so satisfied in Christ. But yet I still want to get closer to Him. I still have that desire to thirst after Him, to want to get closer to Him, to want to read my Word, the Word of God, the Bible. Not my Word, but God's Word, but read my Bible. And I still thirst after Him. He's the first thing I think about when I open my eyes, when I wake up in the morning. That's the way God wants us to be, thirsty after Him. And when we get down to pray, we want the Lord to talk to us. And that's the way God wants us to be. And we can just imagine those deer out there in the forest, and they're searching for water, and they're searching for those water brooks. And that's a wonderful thing to think about that. But you know, God wants us to be like that. He wants us to be thirsty after Him. And He wants you to be satisfied. He wants you. Have you ever been very thirsty and you get the water and it satisfies you? Doesn't that feel good to be satisfied with that water? There's nothing else. There's nothing else that can satisfy you like water. When you want water, it can be tea, pop, whatever. You don't want that. You want water. You want water. And that, you know, God wants us to be like that, thirst after Him. So it says He wants us to go after Him. Now, I'll tell you what, there's lots of things we can go after in the world. Lots of things. Every single day we can go after things. And we can even go after things that's legally that we can do that's okay. But nothing satisfies us like going after God. Now, we were created. Now, I'm telling you, that's the way we're created. Every single day we will go after something. Let's make sure that we go after God, okay? Let's make sure that we go after God first. He should be first place in our heart to talk to Him, to read the Word. And I've been challenged. I want to read the Bible more. And like we study about Romans 10, I'm in Romans right now. I'm reading Romans and those two verses. I try to memorize those two verses I mentioned, 9 and 10 of Romans 10. And I've been challenged to just read the Word more and memorize the Scriptures and just, you know, I just want to revel in God and I just want to encourage you like this. Our heart desires God. We desire God. We want God. We want more of God. We want to go after us. Many things can distract us and draw us away and take us away. We must reduce the value or importance of other things. We must draw our mind into God. Don't let us be drawn into these other things. We have to do these other things to a certain point, even daily things. And God wants us to enjoy our life, but He wants you first to have a heart after God. I was reading, I looked up some of the evangelists in history. Some of them went to like 200 countries and some of them would preach 2 and 3 times a day. I mean, we think we've been busy. We preach 2 or 3 times a week. But they were preaching 2 or 3 times a day. They were going after God. They were going working for God. They were doing so much for God. And God was blessing them. But you know, we can be in our own way. We can do the things that God, like the sister mentioned, Sister Dina. I mean, what she did in her life. Her friend, a real true friend will do that. When you have a real true friend, they'll be there when you need them. And it's wonderful that each one of us can have our circle of friends, our circle of duties, our circle of things that we can do, that God can bring us to our mind to go after spiritual things and ask God to help us. I know the enemy works against us, but we don't have to listen to the enemy. We don't have to go after things and keep ourselves so busy that we don't go after God. I know Jerry and I, sometimes when we take trips together, he's, through the years, he enjoys his trips. I don't blame him. He's worked hard. He wants to relax. But we usually always take our Bible, and I love my little Bible that I bought. This is my new little Bible. I'm not another one. Bought me another little Bible. Because I can take my Bible in my purse. I can take my Bible in my suitcase. It's small. And I enjoy it. And it's pretty big letters. But, you know, I love the big Bibles too. But I love my little Bible. I don't know. I got this thing about it. But you know what? It's just so sweet. And I can take it with me. And you know, wherever we go, and Jerry takes our songbook. We take our songbook and we go after God and we read the songs and we sing the songs together. And we try to keep ourselves God first and then anything else, even if it's just something just being together, we always try to put God first. And it's important for your heart to go after God. Now, I tell you what. We go after food, don't we? We go after food when we're hungry. We go after something to drink. This is just a normal thing. Oh, I just can't wait to get me a... Can hardly wait, let's put it, I can hardly wait to get me a good meal. You just go after it. Or I want a drink of water. I want something unusual. But you just go after those things. But God, he wants to pull you in always and think, but what about me? Go after me. Go after the... Put your heart desire on me. Go after spiritual things. And go after, you know, we thought we were sacrificing the other day a little bit. We weren't really sacrificing hardly nothing because we had to get up early and go to Wichita. But you know what? We got to Wichita, it was no sacrifice. It was a wonderful day. We went after God. We went down there to be with the saints, and it was a blessing. But so many times we can think that, oh, if I go after that, it's going to make me tired, and I'm going to have to drive a long ways, and I'm going to have to sacrifice, and I'm going to have to get up early. But you think these negative things. You don't want to think those things. You want to think, I want to go after God. I want to go where the saints are. I want to be part of that meeting, even if I can't stay all the time. We had different things going on this week, a sweet anniversary for our children, 25th anniversary, different things. That we couldn't stay the whole time, but we made sure we got there and enjoyed some of it. And we were so blessed. I'm still reveling in it. And I tell you, saints, when we go after God, it never disappoints us. We always get something good out of it. We had to get up early. I know all of you had to get up early. Did you get dressed for church? You had to put something forth. You can just, oh, I'm tired. I want to just lay there and rest. We had a day yesterday, a big day, and stayed up late celebrating the 25th anniversary. But you know what? The Lord helped us then, Jerry. Get up. We wanted to come here. We wanted to be with you. We wanted to go after God. We wanted to go after and be with the saints. That's what I'm trying to say. We got to have a desire in our heart. Desires produces things. I know I say that, you know, when people start courting and they love each other, they have a desire to see them the next day. Or the next date they get, even if it's once a week, whatever it is, they have that desire, they want to get back to that loved one. I've heard of young men driving many miles, hours, to get to that place if their girlfriend lived in a different state or whatever, or fly an airplane or whatever they got to do. I got to get to that girl. I got to get to that boy. Because they have the desire that they love them. Well, God wants us to have that desire always in our heart, no matter if it's 50 years, still love him. Or if it's longer than that, just been saved for many years, you still have a desire. Your heart is going after God. I wonder what God will tell me next. I wonder what he will tell me. I'm excited about God. I'm telling you what, I'm going to testify about something. When you live close to God, God will be there when you get in trouble. Because let me tell you what happened. I want to testify about this. On the way to Monarch, I was following Bridget, and Bridget was driving in her car, and all of a sudden this lady stopped in front of her to turn. Well, I did glance down at my phone, and I don't know how long, but I shouldn't have been looking at that phone, but I was trying to see how much longer it was to Monarch, because I was getting kind of tired, you know. I shouldn't have been, but when I looked up, I didn't have very long. I had to swerve my car. Well, I went into oncoming traffic, and it was just a two-lane road, and she went off to the shoulder. I went to oncoming traffic, and I was at the mercy of God, and she said a car was coming toward me, and they went up. She was telling me later, I don't remember seeing them, but she said they went off to the shoulder of the road, but somehow God helped me my steering wheel was shaking and everything, but I got around and I got back in the right-hand lane again. But that could have been a catastrophe. But because you go after God, God helps us. He watches over us. He delivers us. He keeps us alive. He's a wonderful God. So I want to make sure that I stay real close to God, because I don't know when I'm going to need Him the next time. We need Him every single day, every single hour. We don't want anything to distract us. I want to read over here Deuteronomy 4 and 29. You know, this is a wonderful scripture. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, 4 and 29 Deuteronomy, thou shalt find Him. If thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. You know, some of the sweetest times, I know Wichita, Sister Clay was mentioned there, but you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep. And or maybe you wake up and you just kind of can't go back to sleep. Get up and read your Bible. Get up and read and pray in the middle of the night. And you'll be surprised when you go after God and you desire God, what God will tell you. I've had some of the sweetest, most experiences of a blessing that maybe I didn't feel like anything. But I started praying and the Lord would just bless my soul and give me a special insight. I have been so surprised. I'd have my Bible, my psalm book, and I go to my spiritual books there in the study there. I've got lots of books. And I said, well, I'll ask the Lord to give me one of these books, something in one of these books. And I'd get it out and I'd start reading it. It was just what I needed. And the Lord started talking to me, feeding my soul, and giving me so many things out of that. In the middle of the night, I'm having this really great time with God. And then after a while, I said, oh, Lord, I think I'm tired now. If I could go back to sleep. And I go back to sleep. But then I had this great time with God. And you know what I'm trying to say? We all have experienced that. It's wonderful to have that desire in your heart and get something special from God. I know, I'm just telling you, when I was thinking about this message and I got down to pray, I had forgot about this song and the Lord started giving it to me. So I started singing it in prayer. I just started singing that song to God. I didn't have it all wrote down. I didn't know all the words, but I started singing it and I could hear almost the tune of it. I could hear it in my heart and the Lord began to talk to me. That's what I want you to be like. That's what I want you to have, a heart that desires God. Heart that desires God. This scripture, and then, you know, I think it was mentioned earlier, but the Song of Solomon, the Song of Solomon 1 and 4, it says, "If when God draws us, run after Him." Run after God. Spiritually, that's what I mean. Run after Him. Song of Solomon 1 and 4, "Draw me, and we will run after Thee." Now, running is more than just walking. Running is putting some big effort into it. You know what? We're not going to get to heaven by mistake. We got to put some effort into it. And we can't get weary. And we can't get tired of being a Christian. No, we got to keep being a Christian. We can't get weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm not going to give up by God's grace. I'm going all the way to the end. I want to see heaven. I want to see inside of heaven. I want to see all those blessings that's coming up for me. I want to see them someday. I believe it with all my heart and soul, as much as I'm standing behind this pulpit. God has a heaven for us. He has wonderful blessings for us. We just got to be faithful and desire Him and stay with Him and go after Him. And don't let anything sidetrack you here. Don't let anything get you down. Don't do that. Keep focused on God. I'm going to go to service. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to please Him. I'm going to do what He wants me to do. I want to be faithful. You know, you can get all kinds of ideas in your head, especially even after retirement. You can think, well, now I'm retired now. I can move to this beautiful place where a beautiful view is, and I can just retire there. Now, wait a minute. You can't retire there. Why can't you retire there? Is there a church close by where you go to service? No. Can you see your children? No. Well, then you can't do that, because that's not what God would want. You know what I mean? You have to always think about the consequences, saints. We have to serve God. We want to go after Him. We don't want to go after those other things. We don't know how much longer we're going to live. Even if you're young, you don't know. You want to go after Him and desire Him and be faithful to Him. And besides that, when you're a preacher, you don't retire. You don't. You just keep preaching as long as you can do it. You just keep doing it, right? I don't want to retire. I don't want to retire. I want to be faithful to the Lord. You know, and I'm telling you, saints, the devil, he will tell you all kinds of lies. You don't listen to him. Because when I was a young girl or young woman, I was 21 when I first started preaching. And the devil, before that, he spoke to me. Sure you don't want to do that? Are you sure you want to do that? And I just said, you know, whatever God wants is what I want. But I had to consecrate to it. But, you know, the enemy, I've heard people say this, I don't want to be a preacher because I just don't want to do that. It seems too hard for me. I just don't want to do it. And then, but listen, after you do something and you consecrate to it, I have got so many blessings from it. So many places I've went, so many saints I've met, so many travels I've went, that I never probably would have done it if I hadn't been a minister. But oh, that's what I'm just saying to all of you. Whatever God calls you to do, go after it. Desire God. Do what He tells you to do, because the blessing will come from it. The blessing will come from it. Like I said, we can get up on Sunday morning and think, oh, I'm tired, I don't want to go. It's just too much work. No! Put forth that effort, because when you get there, you always get a blessing. You will. And I know there's sometimes we're sick and we can't make it. And I know we had COVID and all that bad stuff. But, you know, we're free from that now. We're free from that. Praise the Lord. The Lord has freed us up. He's gave us freedom again. We had freedom anyway, but He's really freedom in the world. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to get on an airplane and not have to wear a mask anymore. Oh, so wonderful. So wonderful to be free. You know, freedom in Christ is wonderful, isn't it? So we want to run after God. Don't just walk, but run after Him. Have you ever been trying to get someone's attention and they're walking and they don't hear you and they keep going and you just about have to run after them? Come here, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. And they finally stop and they see you. But you know, when you really want something, you have to run. You have to put forth an effort in it. The story, and I was mentioned this morning by a sister about Ruth that came to me. You know, Ruth, the story of Ruth is such a beautiful story. And you know what, Ruth? Her husband had passed away. Her sister-in-law, her husband had passed away. Her mother-in-law's husband passed away. And they had no more connection as far as family. They didn't have to be family anymore. But they loved them. This happens to us, see? And I know Jerry's father married Elizabeth in California. She was my stepmother-in-law. But she was in our family for 19 years. And I grew to love her. And you know, usually mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws... you know, mother like Naomi and Ruth, in the Bible, it says sometimes they have problems and they don't get along well. But Naomi loved her, and Ruth loved Naomi. And Naomi taught her about the true God because she was a Moabite. And she loved her. And she went after, she wanted to go with her. And you know, Naomi said, you know, you girls go back. I'm just putting my own words. But you go back to your own home, your own family. You can't come after me now. Don't come after me because my husband has died. I have no sons for you. I'm too old. And, you know, you just go back to your people. And the one girl finally listened to her mother-in-law. She said, well, sounds good to me. Sounds like that's what I should do. But there was something in Ruth's heart. She desired God. And she saw something in Naomi, and she's, I want to live for that God that Naomi has. And I'm not going back to my people. I'm going to stay with this because I believe that she has the true God. And I'm going to go with her. And so it says, they lifted up their voice, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. That's the 14th verse. But Ruth clave to her. She clave to her, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. That was a great temptation. Here, the sister-in-law was going back. Naomi was telling her to go back. But you know what? You know what kept her from going back? Because her heart desire was for God. And you know what she said? Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. I'm telling you, saints, I fell in love with God, and I fell in love with God's people. And you know what? A lot of my people, fleshly-wise, are not with the saints. You know that? But I relate to this, because when I got saved, he mentioned grandma, and I got saved at her house. I loved my other grandmas in the flesh, too. I loved them dearly. But Grandma Wilkins, she became like my own grandma. You know what I mean? And she would tutor me, and she would pastor me. She would take me to make my wrongs right. I know I've told you different things, but in Michigan, I was 18 when I got saved. She would take me and teach me all about God. And we were going down the road one day, and I had made all my wrongs right that I knew. She said, you've got to ask forgiveness for anything that comes to your mind. And I went to a couple stores, and I did everything I should do. And most of they were so kind to me. They said, you know, you're forgiven. I took this little pin. I can still see the pin, a little daisy pin. Anyway, I told this man, he said, you're saved, you're living for God, you're all forgiven. It was a wonderful day. When I got done, Grandma says, I just got married, and I had a ring. I didn't know it was wrong. I didn't know what the saints taught. But Grandma says, honey, she goes, the next thing is that ring. You have to get rid of that ring. I saw you're measuring me up so bad. I'm working so hard at this. I don't want to give up this ring. And I remember I had to hold up my steering wheel, and I says, and I had learned what some of the saints said about light, you know. And I says, Grandma, I said, I don't have light on this yet. And she says, oh, you will, honey. You will, honey. Oh, she would melt my heart. So I didn't take it off right away, but you know, Brother Humphrey and Sister Humphrey, they'd come to Michigan. They'd preach in our little, we had a little chapel there in the Uncle Ralph's basement, you know. And he came and he taught about jewelry and costly ray and all these things that you should not wear them if you're saved. And I had the ring. No, I didn't have the ring on because I had, my finger was all broke out. Have you heard that from like dish soap and stuff? But it was all broke out from this ring. I was like allergic to it or something. God just let me be allergic to it. I don't know. I didn't have it. It was at home, but I had it in my heart. I was going to put it right back on when my hand got better. Except God gave me light. You prayed for light. You said you're going to measure up when you get light. I said, okay, Lord, I will do it. I will give up the ring. I will get rid of it. I'm married to him. I don't have to have that ring. I get rid of it. So anyway, I said, well, I don't have to tell the saints. I just do it. And the Lord said, you need to tell the saints you have light. Well, I said, if I tell them, I never go put it back on because they'll know. He said, exactly. I said, oh, dear, I have to do this. I better do it. So anyway, I told the saints, I said, he preached on jewelry. I'm getting rid of it. I'm not going to wear it no more. And I didn't either. So I'm going to measure up right here. I've got the light. I testify. That's why we have to testify. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's why we got to tell on ourselves sometimes. And you know, I was free from that. Now some of you, my jury has said sometimes, we should have just saved it, honey, so you could have seen it later. But At that time, I didn't want to see it later. I didn't want to have it. I said, get the temptation away from me. So he sold it. But you know, it was a beautiful ring, and I appreciate it, honey. I appreciate your thought, really. But you know, the thing is we got to measure up to God. We got to do what God, we have to have a heart's desire to please God, whatever he wants. Whatever he wants. And you know, it was wonderful how the Lord would just lead me step by step, having that heart's desire. And I'm talking about poor this Ruth, this precious Ruth. She said, nothing's going to part me, but death part thee and me, and where you'll be buried, I'll be buried. And I'm not trying to be funny here, but I'm just telling the truth. Where the saints are buried there in Guthrie, Jerry and I have a tombstone already. Jerry got one for us ahead of time. And I didn't know about it, but he wanted to do it. He's very good like that. He wants to get things done ahead of time. So it's over there. But as far as I know, Lord willing, that's where I'll be buried, right there among a lot of the saints. You know what? I understand what Ruth is meaning. When you love God and your heart goes after God, and you go after and you believe that this is the church of God, these are God's people, you stay with it. You stay with it. Nothing's going to part me from one another except death. And then I will not be parted because I'll be with all the saints over there in glory world. But I don't take it a small thing that God brought me to the saints. I appreciate it so much that he did that for me. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm testifying that God, when I prayed as a young girl, Lord, lead me to the right church. I was about 12 years old. Lead me to the right church, Lord. Here I don't know anything about the church of God, like Sister Lynn was saying. And then Jerry's family knew the saints, and he brought Jerry into my life. And I prayed for a Christian husband. I prayed, I said, Lord, I don't want to marry someone that smokes and drinks at my high school. I don't want to marry a boy like that. I want to marry a Christian husband. And you know, God protected me from any dates with those boys. He protected me. A couple asked me out, but it was, I wouldn't do it. I just, the Lord protected me. It was amazing how he protected me until Jerry came in my life. Oh, God is a wondrous God. He's a wonderful God. Oh, I love him so much. I love him. I would never want to part from him. My heart desires for God. And you know, Ruth said, but death, and when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking. And the two went on. And you know the story how the barley harvest was, it was a good time for them to go because the barley harvest was beginning. And how Ruth, you know, Naomi was older, so Ruth, she said, I will go and I will glean in the field and get ears of corn for us and I will work. And she says, well, go, my daughter. And you know, she called her daughter, go, my daughter. Her love to her was pure gold, so to speak. It was pure gold. They loved each other. And you know, I often thought, poor Naomi, if she had to go back to her people with nobody, but she didn't have to go back with nobody. She had Ruth, because Ruth's heart was a desire for God. That's why she loved Naomi, but it was mainly because she knew that Naomi knew the true God, and she wanted to go where she went. She wanted to be with her people. And then, you know what God did? Because she had a desire for God, and her heart was after God, God gave her Boaz. Boaz saw her, and you know, he was in the field. You read the 11th verse. Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and are come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Like was said earlier, we don't always have to tell people, you need to get saved, you need to read your Bible. That's good. We tell people those things. But show them love. Show them, that's what he could see with Ruth. Ruth didn't have to tell him a whole lot. He saw it. He saw that she left her other family, and she came to be with Naomi. He saw what a good woman she was. And then later on, he wanted to marry her. And then they had a little baby boy, Obed. And if you talk about, it looked like Naomi's life was cursed. It looked like bad things. You see, it looked horrible for a little while. Her sons had died. Her husband had died. She had to go back. It looked like she was homeless, so to speak. But yet God made her wealthy. Boaz was a real wealthy man. He was a wealthy man. And there Naomi could have a little baby boy and carry that little baby boy. And she had Ruth, and she had Boaz now. She had another family. God gave her another family. Isn't that wonderful? It's a wonderful love story. But you know what it says here? And the fourth chapter, and the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, this is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And you know, this was the generation of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know the joy that she felt. But I tell you what, it's wonderful to have great-grandchildren. Having your children get married and you love them like your own. And then you have grandchildren, and then you have great-grandchildren. And it's a wonderful thing. We got to see our little great-granddaughter last night, Willow. And we love them all. We just love them all. It's a big circle of love. It just gets bigger and bigger. It's just a big circle. But it all started out, what I'm trying to say, because Jerry and I had a desire for God. You know what I'm trying to say? In your life, when you see all the blessings, it all starts out when you have a desire for God. Don't ever give up. Don't ever think that things are going bad for you. And some things do go bad for us in life. But remember, if you have a heart desire for God, you're going to come out a winner. You'll come out a winner in the end. Amen.